Most of us know what is needed to live a healthier lifestyle, yet we don't do it. Perhaps we lack motivation, or we're too busy, or we can't sustain the changes that we do make. There are just so many reasons why we don't live optimally, but there are programs available to give us support. Stand by, Go Healthy for Good starts right now. I'm Dr. Nerida. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. Has improving the quality of your life and your health become a priority for you? And what's motivating you? Here are some stories from the employees of Care First Blue Cross Blue Shield to explain their motivation.
I've had a problem all my life.
It just changed. My whole life flashed in front of me.
My biggest fear is dying.
You told me that your brother died, your mother died. You know, do you want to die?
Back in high school, I used to run sprints and all that. But once you finish high school, you find that there are no sprints for people of older age.
I started smoking the first time when I was 15 years old.
I wasn't exactly 330 yet, but I was creeping up on 330.
You know, went in and they did all the checks and everything, and that's when the cardiologist came and I call it dropped the bomb on me. That I had just had a heart attack. So
I had went to my doctor. And she was like, yeah, you're 5'8", you're 200 and almost 300 pounds.
It was something when she said to me, you qualify for bariatric surgery.
What do you do? You have to do something.
You know, it's put a really new perspective on things.
I'm going to do everything I can to live and be healthy and be strong and be well.
I'm the glue that holds all of this together. If something happens to me, if something happens to me, what are they gonna do without me?
Just started and just didn't stop.
I know that my first marathon was the Marine Corps Marathon, which is held in D.C., you know, every October, and, you know, I had no idea what I was doing.
The changes that I'm doing have to be sustainable.
About 4 or 5 months into it, and I realized I was still getting up and going to the gym.
I know that all day at work, I am working for Care First, I am working for my family, I am working for, you know, but when I run, it's just running for me.
Kickboxing, Pilates, yoga.
Continue to lead a healthy lifestyle, which is, you know, food, exercise, and more outdoor stuff.
They say, well, you know, if Bob can do that, anyone can do it. You know, because it's not that hard to do.
And so when I do get that little temptation or that little urge does come my way, I just say, hey, you have a choice now. And I choose not to smoke.
And the thing that stands out the most is when he hugged me and he said, Daddy, I can touch both of my wrists. And it was just like, okay, man. Pretty soon you'll be touching your elbows. Don't worry about it.
I realized, Tarina, you can do this.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Hi, my name is Lonnie.
Hi, I'm Rakesh. I work in IT at Care First.
Hi, I'm Tarina.
Hi, my name is Sherry. I work in customer service at Care First. And my motivation is my granddaughter.
My motivation is sheer enjoyment.
Is my family.
And my motivation is my kids.
And my motivation is my children.
If you decided to turn your life around, what would motivate you? And on today's show, we've got some great pieces to help you do it. A jazzy salad from Phil in the kitchen, Sean to help us take it up a notch, and an expert in turning people's lives around. But first, the news. In the headlines today, doctor's advice drops cholesterol, menopause and metabolic syndrome, and fiber boosts sleep. Nutrition counselling by a physician has a significant impact on heart health, according to a study published in Advances in Nutrition. A routine cardiology visit that included some discussion about adopting a plant-based diet resulted in patients lowering their cholesterol levels independent of medication use. After just 6 weeks, total cholesterol was cut by 20% and LDL cholesterol by 30%. So keep watching Go Healthy for Good and let's work on your cholesterol together. The risk of metabolic syndrome is much higher in perimenopausal women if they are sedentary and overweight. A Korean study of 1,200 healthy women aged 45 to 55 found that overweight, obesity, and lack of exercise predisposed women to having metabolic syndrome or developing it as they went through menopause. In contrast with normal weight women, overweight women in this study had more than 4 times the risk and obese women more than 12 times the risk of metabolic syndrome. Those who didn't exercise were at 1.6 times greater risk than those participating in the study doing regular physical activity. So ladies, what's stopping you from taking a brisk 22-minute walk every day? Eating a healthy diet is associated with longer, deeper sleep. These are the results of a small study of normal weight healthy men and women who spent 5 days in a sleep lab. For the first 3 days, they ate meals prepared by a nutritionist and then underwent a sleep study. For the next 2 days, they chose their own meals and had another sleep study. The nutritionist's meals were lower in saturated fat, higher in fiber and in protein, and participants fell asleep in just 17 minutes compared with 29 minutes after choosing their own meals. They also spent more time in deep sleep on the controlled menu. Since poor sleep is associated with high blood pressure, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, here's another great reason to eat healthy. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's Health News. Today's interview was recorded at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine meeting in Nashville, where we spoke to Dr. Miladin Golubic, Medical Director at the Wellness Institute in Cleveland Clinic. It sounds like an interesting place to work, and I asked him for more information about it.
The Wellness Institute is one of different institutes, like you have Neurology Institute, Cardiovascular Institute. So the purpose of Wellness Institute was to be exclusively focused on wellness, to make wellness and taking care of himself, herself, they're really the driving force in society and medicine today.
How long has it been in existence?
It started with Dr. Michael Roizen being appointed the first chief wellness officer in any academic medical center in the United States, and that happened in 2007.
Oh, so it's relatively new.
Yeah.
So you're really pioneering this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's marvelous. So what all comes under the umbrella of the Wellness Institute?
So there are many different entities. The original nuclei were preventive medicine, where patients come for executive health evaluations. Then integrative medicine was already in existence. It existed outside of the Wellness Institute, so it became part of it. And then there was a center called Center for Disease Reversal, which several years back, when I became medical director, we changed the name to the Center for Lifestyle Medicine. Because disease reversal, yes, that was our primary objective, that we use lifestyle interventions to reverse the disease, chronic diseases. But we also help people who are healthy, who do not have chronic disease, to stay healthy. And so therefore we thought lifestyle medicine would be more appropriate.
Rather than waiting until you were sick.
Exactly. Although we still do programs that are aimed at reversing chronic diseases, lifestyle-related chronic diseases. Besides integrative medicine, lifestyle medicine, preventive medicine, we have employee wellness. That means the group of individuals who pay attention to the well-being of our own employees, physicians, nurses, anybody who works at the clinic.
Yeah? That must be big because Cleveland Clinic is large.
Yes, so there are 40,000 employees and then another 40,000 dependents. So just to give you an example, we have yoga classes. Every week there are like 50 yoga classes. There are gyms with essentially free membership if you come to a certain number of visits per month. And in fact, the healthcare deductibles that we pay for our own health insurance, every employee has to pay a certain amount. If you exercise, if you are involved in the chronic disease management program, assuming you have a chronic disease and you go through any of those programs, either CURVS or Weight Watchers, which are paid for by the Cleveland Clinic, or membership in the gym or doing yoga classes, etc., your premiums are lower. You know, those who are healthy, they need to prove that they are healthy. We measure the steps that everybody is doing. For example, that's one of the things. So the amount of fruits and vegetables one eats. So those are all the incentives for employees to stay, to be healthy.
That makes a lot of sense. We'll talk more with Dr. Golubich in the next segment, and right after the break, you'll find us in the kitchen. But first, this.
Oh, man, I hate work raking leaves. It's such hard work.
Well, it's better for you than housework.
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah, yard work is better than going to the gym.
Oh, really? How come?
Because the stale, sweaty air in the gym that other people have breathed in and out a few times, you get to breathe in.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
Well, I guess being outdoors, you get more sunshine on your skin, converts the cholesterol into vitamin D, which strengthens your immune system, helps your bones.
Yeah, there's something that you need to know, though.
And what is that?
Exercise does you more good if you have a good attitude about it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Researchers have shown better attitude, longer life.
Yeah, and I also heard that women who have a positive attitude, they have less death, less diabetes, and less hypertension.
And less cancer, because a good attitude combats depression and boosts your immune system.
So would you mind if I do all this work, you just sit back, let me get the sunshine, the fresh air, and the hard work?
Well, it sounds a bit selfish, but I guess I'll just sit it out and watch you work while you get all the benefit. Come on, keep going. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back. You know, salad doesn't have to just be a boring lettuce and tomatoes. So Phil and I have brought you an interesting recipe today, haven't we, Phil?
Oh, yeah. And this is one that I love because it reminds me of summer, or it helps me look forward to summer.
Yeah.
Depending on kind of when you are.
Right. So tell us what's in it.
So this is our peeled salad, and this has 2 large or 3 small carrots, 1 medium or 4 to 5 small cucumbers, 8 grape tomatoes halved, the zest from 1 lemon, 3 tablespoons mint leaves, chopped, and then just a little bit of salt for taste.
Mmm, that sounds yummy. I'm looking forward to trying the zest and mint, and because that's not something I normally think of for a salad.
Oh, and absolutely. And this is one that I love because it's a little bit of a dressing, but it doesn't take away from the flavors of the vegetables.
Right.
So it adds a little bit, and I love any time that I can throw mint into it, especially with vegetables. It just, again, like it gives me that feel of summer. Whether I'm in summer or thinking about it, it makes me think of summer even more.
Yeah, fresh. So shall I start chopping up that?
Yes. While you do that, I'm going to start peeling our carrots. And it can get a little bit messy, so you want to rein in your peels a little bit.
Wow, that looks so beautiful.
And I caution people, the temptation is to peel the carrot first and then to start doing this. And there are a lot of nutrients that are on the peel of the carrot and right. just under. So I tell people to just put it all in there because it's all really good.
Yeah, there's no good reason to peel carrots, so I agree. I see you've got some going overboard there. That's what you call going overboard, literally.
I like to, when I do this, I like to do it, maybe put the bowl in a sink or something like that. It keeps it a little bit cleaner. But at the same point, you've got plenty of this. You just rein it in. It's all good. As you know, I like to get kind of messy with my food.
Yes, you always like to interact with your food. Like Garfield. Never waste a good opportunity to play with your food. Because it makes it taste better.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate. Like, this smells so good. Our viewers can't smell it, but that lemon smells so good.
It does. It's just...
And when you eat this, you can smell and taste it. So you get the best of both worlds. Now, when I peel, usually with the cucumber, I like to get to the seeds, and then it gets a little bit difficult. So I usually just peel the flesh, and once I get down to the seeds, I kind of move on to another cucumber.
Right. But these cucumbers are almost seedless, so you probably get more out of these babies or the seedless ones. Excuse me, I'm going to tap this. Get it empty.
You absolutely do.
From those large sort of English cucumbers with all the seeds in. And I'll leave you to do the squeeze of lemon and the salt at the end. Oh, shall I throw a little olive oil on there? Just a little smidgen. Don't want to go overboard with free oils, do we? Oh, do you want to do that while I...
Yeah.
This.
So I like to just put a little bit of a squeeze in.
This looks beautiful just like that, you know.
Oh, and it looks amazing because you've got all these colors, you've got all these fresh vegetables, and you've got all these terrific flavors too that just kind of mix together.
Gorgeous.
And this is a great thing. You can put it on the side of just about anything. And it really, I mean, the color and everything.
I was just
going to
say, the color is really gorgeous. Did you want some salt or did you already salt?
I did not.
Of course, you don't have to put in the salt. You know, if you're on a salt-free diet, this doesn't really need to. I would personally wouldn't salt this, but...
And I recommend, even for those that feel that they really want it, just minimize it. Don't put too much because you really don't want to take away from the fresh flavors here.
Right, because you've got some fresh herbs, and fresh herbs really, with the fresh herbs, you really don't need the salt because the herbs will bring out the flavor anyway.
So here we've got it. We've just mixed it all together, and that's done. And then we'll plate it right here. I want to protect your garnish there.
Yeah, we can't have our garnish.
You took the time to put the garnish on the side, and I wouldn't want to mess that up.
Absolutely. So presentation is everything, isn't it?
And taste. Try taste.
Try taste. Here we go.
It's a little challenging. It's good, isn't it?
Oh my, that is so good. Because you got that crunch of the carrot, which is fresh anyway, but that flavor. Oh, thanks, Phil.
And I love the little bit of mint.
Wonderful. You have to try this. It's great. Today's guest is Dr. Golubich, Medical Director at the Center for Lifestyle Medicine in Cleveland Clinic. He has a very successful program that they pioneered called Lifestyle 180.
What's really exciting now at the Cleveland Clinic is we're innovating in a new space, and that's the space of wellness. The Lifestyle 180 program is a program designed to treat and to reverse chronic disease. We do this across nutrition, exercise, and stress management. The participants have come because they've heard about it themselves. They've come because their physicians have referred them. They've come to participate because their company has sent them.
And the people that I know that work here, these people are absolutely dedicated to helping other people. They're in the right profession. They feel the same way I do about helping people get control of their lives and really leading a much happier, healthy, and longer life.
Lifestyle 180 is a lifestyle. It's not a diet that you're going to go on and go off. It's not a boot camp that's going to end. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living.
I don't want to be impatient. I don't want to starve. I don't want to do all the things that you typically do on when you think of a diet.
If you're willing to make that personal commitment to yourself, it's a great opportunity to change your life.
Most of us are very familiar with an exercise class, and this is a pretty typical exercise class. It's about half cardio and half strength and function training.
They keep it pretty interesting, and they do push you. They do push you pretty good, and that's what I need.
I'm feeling better. I feel better about myself. It's easier to get up in the morning. My body doesn't hurt like it used to hurt.
In the nutrition class, you're in the kitchen actually preparing meals. You're learning knife skills. You're at the stove, you know, stirring the pot and getting into all of the ingredients and understanding those. But in addition to actually making food, then you sit down with a dietitian at the conclusion and you're understanding what it is you're eating.
We actually also take you to the grocery store, because if you don't have the right food in your pantry in the first place, the chances of you grabbing healthy food to make are a lot less.
We were taught how to read the labels and to know what to avoid and what we can get. I looked in the shopping cart the other day as I was going through the checkout line, and I just shaking my head. It's like, boy, this is so different from what it was a little over a year ago.
One of the benefits of Lifestyle 180 is that it not only benefits you, but it benefits everybody around you.
I wouldn't have believed that eating different would have made that big of a difference. It's really a life-changing experience on how you feed your family.
Sounds great. Now, sadly, insurance companies did not buy into this model of healthcare, and individuals couldn't afford the $3,000 necessary for participation in this intense program, so it's had to be scaled down. However, it worked, and so there are things that we can learn about what made it successful, and here is one of the pioneers of that program, Dr. Miladin Golubic.
Lifestyle 180 was named as signifying 180 degrees, meaning reclaiming our health, yeah, going in the opposite direction from you know, more chronic illness, more disease, more stress, more pain. Yeah.
Nice.
The whole idea is that it is comprehensive intervention that addresses all the key components of lifestyle. Number one, being physically active. Number two, eating healthy foods. Number three, managing your stress. So these are the three components. Now, managing stress and finding a good relief system is so important that we actually devoted 50% of all the lifestyle intervention to stress management. So there are two components of it. One is behavioral health coaching, which is like a group discussion of, you know, sources of stress, how we react to stress, how we can manage it better. Because often people do not recognize that they are stressed. Yeah? And then the second component of stress relief is yoga-based stress reduction, where we teach patients some stretching practices, breathing techniques, meditation techniques. So the whole program consisted of 18 visits, and each visit was 4 hours.
So patients, wow, so 18 visits,
yes,
4 hours each.
And they were spread throughout the year. Yeah.
So 8 hours mm-hmm. every week for the first 4 weeks.
Yes, and that's why you can demonstrate within 6 weeks changes in biometrics, decreased blood pressure, decreased weight, improved cholesterol profile, improved blood sugar profile. Yeah, just within 6 weeks, and improved mood. Yeah? So, and then of course those visits become less frequent as people are more capable of doing the things on their own. So they would.
So you're sort of asking them to make. Well, sounds like big changes, but you're really holding their hands in that first month.
Absolutely.
And then what? The visits become weekly or every 2 weeks?
Usually then they're every 2 weeks, and then, you know, every 2 months, and then basically every 3 months. Yeah. So total of 18 visits.
So they are assessed by an exercise physiologist,
yeah, exercise physiologist.
At the start, and they have a tailor-made program.
Exactly.
Like having a fitness trainer, yeah.
That's right. I mean, we know who can do what, yeah, if there are any, orthopedic limitations, and so then we adjust according to that.
And yeah. But they all exercise together as a group?
Oh, they exercise together. Everything is as a group, yeah. Then the second hour is usually nutrition/cooking. So we have a teaching kitchen with chefs, so everybody goes there. Patients get their cutting board knives, and they learn, you know, how to prepare the foods. They cook the stuff there, okay?
Because this is a lost art, you know. I speak to my patients, or even when you go through the checkout, you'll bring, you know, some, to me, quite normal vegetable or fruit, and the checkout people don't know what it is. They ask me, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're actually explaining it right from almost that stage.
Yes.
Apart from doing the shopping, you've done the shopping, but they do everything from there
mm-hmm.
on in.
Mm-hmm. And so then they actually help prepare the meal, and then they sit down as a group and eat the meal. Now, ideally, we like it to be mindful eating, you know, the discussion and so on, but then in order to squeeze the education, we have a dietitian who is basically lecturing during that eating session. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So then behavioral health coaching, essentially to kind of recognize the sources of stress, how we can be better equipped, more resilient to respond to stressors rather than just react automatically, what we all conditioned to do, yeah? And then there is yoga practice. And for some people, that is really something that they enjoy. especially for men, it was kind of difficult to get them into the yoga studios, you know, because it looks like, you know, it's not like a macho thing to do.
No, it's not.
But invariably, most of the patients at the end, you know, when we ask them, you know, what was working, what was not working, they attributed their success to these stress reduction practices. They think that this was the most difficult, the most challenging, but the most rewarding thing. Initially, at the beginning, most patients worry about foods.
Right, because that's something you do three times a day and you've got to make all these choices. But that wasn't what they found most beneficial.
Yeah. Most of them found, you know, foods, they become easy. Yeah. In fact, we had part of the curriculum taking the patients with our chef and dietitian to the grocery store. We call it grocery store tour. So we would take them through the aisles, explain how you read the labels, you know, where do you shop, you know, what do you pay attention to, you know, when you are buying, I don't know, butternut squash, yeah? What do you choose, how do you go, you know.
It may seem simple, but these small pieces all come together to make a bigger picture. Coming straight ahead, a workout from Sean, but before the break, a point to ponder. I'm friends on Facebook with a couple who are revamping their lives. In just 3 months, they've sold their house, changed careers, and moved across the country. Now they're taking time to work on their health. Every day they post something about their journey. It might be what they did at the gym that day, their new weight loss, or a picture of a luscious green breakfast smoothie. In the same way, God has a revamp plan for us. He didn't plan the problem of sin, and he couldn't stop it from happening. So he planned the remedy before it happened. Ephesians 1 says that he chose us for adoption before creation and before sin. He planned to pay the ransom of Jesus' life in exchange for ours. His purpose was to rehabilitate and restore our relationship with him. In Jeremiah 29, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a bright future." He predicts that when we understand the plans he has, we will pursue him. He says, "You will seek me, and when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Then your life will turn around. You'll never be the same again." Life with God is never dull. His plans for us are bigger, better, and more exciting than we could ever imagine. Are you ready to seek him with all your heart? Then pray and tell him you're ready to do a 180. And we're back. It's time to have fun. Sean is here.
How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. So today, what are my tools, right? See the evil grin, right?
Yeah.
I got some dumbbells and I got a resistant band, all right? We've used a resistant band before. We've used some dumbbells. Just remember the resistant band, there are several different grades to the resistant band. Normally yellow and green are like the easy. And then when you get to like a dark purple or black, that's typically the harder of the bands. So today we have some nice lightweights, some moderate resistant bands, and I'm gonna show you how to use those, okay?
All right.
So what we're gonna do, just in your little confined space, you don't need a lot of space to get warmed up. All right, I want you to practice high knees, okay? We're gonna do that for about 10 seconds, and then we're gonna go into a squat with a side lift, okay?
Okay.
So let's do this. 5, 4, 3, 2, get those knees up, and 1. All right, we're gonna go to a side lift, not a kick, but a lift, okay? Looks like this. Lift. We're gonna use the legs a little bit today, so that's why I want, so you keep on going. We're gonna use the legs today.
Okay.
So that's why I want to kind of warm up the glutes, warm up the quads, and kind of get your body nice and heart rate up a little bit. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Remember, you have to warm up, all right? 30 seconds to about 3 minutes of just something that's gonna get your heart rate pumping. We're gonna start with the dumbbells, okay? We're gonna work the quads.
All right.
Right here, from the top of your knee all the way up to your hip. We're gonna do a squat and a bicep curl. Now, all the way down and hammer curl up, okay?
Okay.
Now I want you to aim for about 15. We're not gonna do 15, but aim for about 15. All right, 3, 2, and 1. Squat all the way down and hammer curl. Keep the chest up. all the way down. And Doc, you keep on going. I'll show you for a second. So as you're doing this exercise, I want you to keep an eye on Dr. Narada's knee. She's putting the weight into the heel of her sneaker, okay? Putting all the tension into her quad, coming up and hammer curl. I'm gonna bring those elbows in just a little bit more to the side. There you go, and work the bicep. We're working two regions, your lower body, right?
Yeah.
Big muscles, burn a lot of calories. And then we're working the arms. I call them the glamour muscles. Everyone wants to work some arms, right? One more, three, two, and one. Perfect. All right, then we're gonna take your resistant band. So now you've worked your quads and you've worked your biceps, okay? So now let's take this band, get it to about a distance about shoulder width apart. And what you're gonna do is stretch it all the way out. As you get to the point where it's gonna be all the way out, stretched all the way out, you've taken a nice deep breath. Inhale, exhale. We're working that back, okay? You will work a little bit of the tricep as well, right? But we're just kind of getting the tricep warmed up, and I'm gonna show you what we're gonna do next that involves the tricep. Let's do about three more reps. One. Two. Last one. And three. Okay, again, working the back. Now, with that exercise, you involve a lot of stabilizer muscles like your triceps. What we were doing was working the primary back muscles, but warming up the triceps a little bit. So what we're gonna do is take that resistant band, step on a little bit. I'll turn to the side just so that everybody can see me. Right here. And have your, if you can see my hand right here, we're gonna work the tricep. So keep your elbow close to your side.
Mm-hmm.
Bend over a little bit and kick it back. 15 reps. All right, kick it all the way back. Once you get to the up position, you keep on going, I'll stop. What I want you to do is intentionally squeeze your tricep, okay? Every time you're doing these exercises, you gotta understand why you're doing it, okay? You're isolating your tricep right there. Squeeze, shoulders, yeah, there you go. Squeeze, good squeeze. Three, two, and one. Let's show the other side real quick so you don't walk around with one tricep bigger than the next.
Oh, if it was only so easy to build a muscle.
I know, right? So you can also, as you keep on going, I'll show you how you can vary the intensity. You can take another step and bring this band even further in and challenge yourself. All right, go. One.
I was hoping he was going to move it out. No such luck.
I'm not going to give you the easy way out. No way. There you go. So you're working your triceps at the same time, you know, as you give it some resistance and challenge and burn some calories, okay? There you go.
Hey.
So set your timer for about 15 minutes and repeat those three exercises. You know, you're working the upper body, the lower body, upper body, lower body, and then mixing up, you know, exercises that will allow you to work your back, work your triceps, and then isolate the triceps.
And we're so often we forget our backs.
Yeah, we do.
And that's when we end up with back pain.
Yeah, you're always at the computer. You gotta challenge it. Gotta
work it out.
Yep.
Stretch it out.
So a great way to stretch it out, put your arms out here. Put your one arm across. Stretch out the rear delts. All right? Take a nice deep breath. Three, two, one. Switch sides. Get a good stretch. Make sure you're inhaling through your nose, exhaling through your mouth. Getting rid of the carbon dioxide, bringing in fresh oxygen. Three, two, and one. Shake it out. And you're good to go.
Thanks, Sean. That's great.
You're welcome.
Are midnight raids on the refrigerator spoiling your healthy eating plans? Three recent studies found a delicious way to control your hunger cravings: eating more whole grains. The studies all showed that people who eat more whole grains actually eat less because they feel fuller with less food. Regularly enjoying oatmeal, quinoa, and other whole grains will make you feel full more quickly, and it will keep the hunger pangs away. Adding whole grains to your daily diet is another ageless advantage.
Now it's time for the questions you've sent by social media, phone, and text. Someone called and said, I've got arthritis in my wrists. What natural remedies can I use for it? Well, there are a number of remedies for arthritis, but the best thing to do is to go on a plant-based diet and make sure it's free of all processed foods. That will make a huge difference to the amount of inflammation in your body and will really help your body to heal. You can check out our recent show on Whole Foods. If you're not sure about that, it's on our website, gohealthy.hopetv.org. You can also try some of the many supplements that are out there for arthritis. There'd be turmeric, that's one of the best, ginger, tart cherry, boswellia, Sam E, bromelain, and papain. So lots of options there. Someone else called and asked, how much sugar is allowed in one day? Well, the American Heart Association recommends no more than 6 teaspoons for women and 9 teaspoons for men. However, the more you get, the more you want. So if you can go most days without getting much added sugar, you're going to have some in your fruits and different things that you eat. But without the added sugar, you should be able to control the urge over the days that you do enjoy it. Text message says, I'm enjoying your show from Jamaica. I'm 61, had prostate surgery in 2014. On my first blood test, I had a PSA of 0.1, and on the next one, 1.9. That was just 3 months later. I've done some bone scans, but they are inconclusive. What should I do next? Well, obviously, you want to keep seeing your doctor for monitoring. To give you hope, Dr. Dean Ornish has done research on men with early, low-grade prostate cancer. And they were not at the stage of needing surgery yet, so a little bit different to you, but he found that their PSA levels fell on his program. And in a nutshell, his program involves a totally plant-based diet, daily physical activity, making sure that you have love and support around you to give you what you need to emotionally, and then managing stress. For more information about his program, go to our website and watch his interview. It's called Lifestyle Revolution. I want to thank you for those questions. I love hearing from you, so keep sending questions in. And remember to like us on Facebook. You'll be able to watch videos and get more health information there. Now, let's go shopping. Wheat is a favorite grain for two reasons. It's easy to separate from the seeds from the plant due to the gluten content, and the dough becomes elastic when it's mixed with liquid. This makes it very versatile because then it can be cooked whole or turned into porridge, bread or pasta. It's not surprising then that two-thirds of the grain consumed in America is wheat. Unfortunately though, most of it is not whole wheat, even though that has well-established benefits, like 30% fewer strokes, less heart disease and type 2 diabetes, better weight management, less asthma, lower blood pressure, and fewer inflammatory diseases. Different varieties of wheat look fairly similar, but offer different nutrients and can be digested a little differently. So that people with celiac disease who should avoid all wheat, but some people with non-celiac gluten sensitivity are able to tolerate farro, spelt, kamut, or coruscant wheat. So experiment a little. You may be pleasantly surprised. Whole wheat is easy to cook. Wheat berries cook overnight in the crock pot. Wheat flakes take 30 to 40 minutes to steam. Bulgur wheat cooks in about 25 minutes. Whole wheat pasta like this in just 8 minutes. And whole wheat couscous is already cooked. Just soak in boiling water. It's that easy. Bon appetit. Today we're talking with Dr. Golubich from the Center for Lifestyle Medicine at Cleveland Clinic. I asked him to explain what kind of nutritional advice they give their patients.
So when we try to convince people to stay away from red meat, processed meats, that's one of the key things we try to teach them. The second principle is to eat as much as they can plant foods, but they should be unrefined. So we teach them how to select 100% whole grain breads and pastas. Clearly encourage them to eat a lot of vegetables, green leafy vegetables, fruits. Now from animal foods, we are okay if they eat fish, chicken, turkey, skinless breast. So those are the only foods of animal origin.
It's, so just white meats and...
White meats. We call it like low-fat Mediterranean diet. So this is not Mediterranean diet with a liter of olive oil per week, yeah? We still use olive oil, we still use nuts, but not the quantities that... We try to be mindful of calories that people take, yeah? So we give them some healthy fats.
So they do have a little fat, a little oil.
Yes.
But more the whole foods like the avocados, exactly. The olives.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And the nuts. Mm-hmm.
So that's diet in a nutshell.
Now they're coming initially 2 days a week doing an hour of exercise. But once they go through that first month, how much exercise are you encouraging them to undertake in a week?
Ideally, we would want them to at least do what American College of Sports Medicine recommends, 30 minutes of daily activity of moderate intensity. But it all depends where patients are, what they can do. Yeah, for somebody that might be increasing their steps from, 2,000 that they did per day to maybe 4 or 5,000 and then building up. And for other people, they might not have really challenges with exercise. They might already do and exceed what we want them to do. But the key principles we teach them is to be active, to avoid prolonged periods of sitting.
So if they have a sedentary job, you want them
absolutely
to get up and,
yes,
and be moving,
yes,
what, every hour, every 2 hours?
It depends what the nature of the job is. Yeah, if somebody is nurse in the ICU, then of course they'll be moving a lot. But if somebody is office worker, then yes, then we ask them to do the reminders, to put on their, cell phones, reminders to stand up and go and maybe take a detour to the bathroom or something like that whenever they can.
Hmm. Now, do they get any cognitive training to improve their sort of mental outlook, their attitudes, or is that built into your behavior coaching?
Behavioral health coaching includes all of those things, yeah. Clearly, it's recognizing being more self-aware. Actually, mindfulness, awareness is number one lesson that we teach them. Yeah, if you're not aware of what's going on, it's very difficult to envision that you are going to change your behaviors. Yeah, if you have your hand in the cookie jar at 11 in the evening, and you don't know whether you are doing this because you are hungry, you are lonely, you are maybe tired. Yeah.
Right.
So once you figure that out, then it's much easier to change the behavior. So that's how we work. We ask them to draw their 24-hour activities, so many hours sleep, work, personal hygiene, shopping, preparing foods, and so on, and just try to see how they can incorporate some of those essential lifestyle behaviors into their new lifestyle. So it's not a diet, it's not exercise program, it's not, a meditation practice per itself. It's like, what can you incorporate into your everyday living?
So really taking a helicopter view and journaling to start with to see what their lives are really like. And
yeah, you mentioned journaling. We ask them to fill out records of what they do. So we give them a spreadsheet, and then they can basically mark, whether they did meditate, whether they did yoga, how physically active they were, dishes that they prepared.
So that's works both to be aware, but also for accountability then?
Absolutely. That's for them to know what they do, and also for us to see how they engage. Of course, it's self-reported, So we try to really develop that trust that, they can freely say, yes, I didn't do anything this week for whatever reason, So we will not kind of judge them and say, oh, you're not doing your job. But we try to engage them, and why this is so useful is sometimes people would come, after a couple of months and said, oh, I didn't lose much weight, and, my colleague who is sitting next door to me, she lost weight and her cholesterol is better, mine is not. And then we kind of pulled those things out and said, your colleague was really, walking more and she ate differently than you did. So maybe those are the things you can look.
Now, what are the biomarkers that you measure along the way? What do you want to know as a physician about the patient when they arrive and as they track? And is that information useful for them to know? You're just talking about, the weight loss and things.
Absolutely, yeah. There are three categories. Number one, biometric markers. Their weight, their body composition, lean body mass, fat mass. Yeah? Because it's always important once you get people start exercising, they might not lose as weight as fast if they would just diet or eat a different way without exercising. So they might lose, 5 pounds, but that could mean 10 pounds of losing of fat mass and gaining 5 pounds of lean body mass. Yeah. So we also measure the waist circumference initially, and then we switch to the bioimpedance analysis. And blood pressure and heart rate. So those are the things that are biometric components. Then we did laboratory values. So we want to know what their fasting insulin is, fasting blood sugar. We want to calculate and we reported this insulin resistance because it's a good indicator of your changes in the diet as well as your physical activity. Yeah? Lipid profile standard, because most patients had, 2/3 of them had high cholesterol. blood sugar markers, fasting blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, and then we looked at inflammation markers, CRP, ultra-sensitive C-reactive protein, and then we looked at ratios for triglycerides to HDL, and et cetera.
And we'll come back to that right after a short break. Here's the rest of the story from Cleveland Clinic's Lifestyle 180 team. Watch.
In the stress management portion of Lifestyle 180, the class is divided into a restorative yoga piece and a behavioral health piece. Restorative yoga, it's simply breathing, learning how to move your body in simple poses so that you feel better. And what's exciting is you feel better really quickly. Behavioral health piece is a time to learn about mindfulness, some simple guided imagery that you can do every day wherever you are.
It's really about teaching people how to deal with stress differently, how to react to things differently, and when you have those triggers, how do you recognize them and how do you respond to them?
We're very focused on results at Lifestyle 180, and the clinic is also very focused on outcomes and metrics. If you can't measure it, it's very hard to say if it's successful. So we measure everything.
The program definitely can make an impact on reversing chronic disease. I see that for myself. I'm on the way to getting off my blood pressure medicine. I've lost 50 pounds to date. I have more energy. I react differently to stress. That just makes you feel like an incredibly new person.
I have a lot of people that I haven't seen in a little while, and they come up to me and they say, you look like you're going to waste away to nothing. But I said, no, I'm doing good. It's good to hear, and it makes me realize that I'm doing the right thing now.
In 6 weeks, if it can make that huge of a difference, then in your whole life, think what difference that's going to make if you maintain.
For the employer who has a lot of employees, it's incredible. Within 1 year, we've recovered our cost. And not to mention absenteeism and just general attitude and feelings about themselves and how confident they are and how good they feel.
I'm going to be 58 years old, and I'm actually feeling as good as I ever have, you know, through my whole life.
I am so grateful to the people here who have helped me. They've just turned my life around. That's all I can say.
Unfortunately, that program has transitioned to a less intense program that's more affordable to run. But while it was in existence, participants' progress was measured in three ways. There were biometric markers like weight, lean body mass, and blood pressure, laboratory tests such as glucose, cholesterol, and inflammatory markers. And the third category was psychosocial health. I asked Dr. Golubich whether this was an important measure.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a critical component.
How do you measure that?
We evaluate patients at the beginning, get a couple of questionnaires, standardized questionnaires. One is the quality of life questionnaire. It's Veterans Rand form number 12, with 12 questions. Just general physical, mental quality of life, perceived stress scale, and Center for Epidemiological Studies, CESD scale for depression, for mood. So we try to see at what level patients perceive their stress and the profile of their mood, their quality of physical and mental well-being. And then we follow them after 6 months and we follow them after 12 months. And so that's where we, on the percentage basis, we see the biggest improvements.
So if we look globally at all of these things that you're measuring, what do you see on the initial biomarkers, the biometric, what sort of results are you getting at, say, halfway through and by the end? Are the drops sustained? What are your trends?
So the weight loss is really something that patients focus on, because 80% of our population of 700 patients were obese. So on average, they lose about 15 pounds after 6 months, and then that's sustained another as 15 pounds after 12 months.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. They lose about 2.5 to 3 inches from their waist, so their body composition is different. Yeah. Their blood pressure is better controlled, significantly better controlled.
Do they come off blood pressure medications?
Some do, and in fact, we have we reported a table that one of the reviewers actually asked us to put a table of changes in medications, and that's very interesting. So the cholesterol profile is better, blood sugar control is better, inflammation is better, and this all happened with less medications used. For every medication that was started, because some people came, they didn't know they have type 2 diabetes, or their blood pressure was week after week in hypertensive range. So their primary care started them on new medications, yeah. And we didn't take them off. Their primary care physicians did that. Okay. We didn't manage their medications, yeah.
Right.
So for every medication that was started or increased in dose, there were 3 medications that were stopped or decreased in dose.
That's fantastic.
And in spite of all of this, we had significantly better outcomes in laboratory blood values. Mm. And then psychosocial outcomes are really important, because very early, even when patients didn't lose much weight, or you know, their inflammation is not so much down, they would say, you know, I sleep better. My low back pain is bothering me less. And those were the first things. Initially, we didn't do those psychosocial evaluations. But once we realized that that's what people report to us as the biggest thing, then we started doing this formally. And the biggest changes are in perceived health. So there are 2 questions. Compared to 12 months ago, how do you feel physically? And then another question is, how do you feel mentally? Yeah, you can say much worse, worse, the same, better, much better. That's where we see the most dramatic changes. Even people who didn't lose much weight, whose cholesterol is basically unchanged, they still report that their perceived health is much better.
And really, that is the bottom line. That is the joy that comes from
Absolutely. Making
lifestyle changes.
It doesn't feel like, you know, I did something that is difficult that I'm not going to enjoy doing. That's the whole idea.
And that's going to keep them doing it, because they know what makes them feel good.
Well, yes. I mean, the reality is we live in a toxic environment, and we just heard this in a discussion of blue zones. Yeah, how important is that environment? So what we do in medicine, we address and we demonstrate that we can accomplish a lot. Patients change their behaviors. They are aware. You know, they have their own new ways of living. However, they go back into their toxic environments. They're exposed to the media. They start questioning, you know, do I eat well or not? Because, you know, in 6 months there is a new idea of what is healthy eating. Then there is also conditions at work. Not every company is as progressive and tries to keep their employees in a good shape. Yeah, often it's like, you know, I don't want you that you stand up. You know, you have to be here. And of course, there are issues about the different jobs. Yeah, if you're in a call center, you're going to be stressed. You're not going to have chance to go and move as you please. Yeah, but if you do not have this support in broader society, in companies where you work, then it's hard to sustain those changes. Let's say you work for company A, you learn what is healthy diet, you prepare it at home, and you eat twice a week, let's say, in cafeteria at your work. If there are no good choices, although you know what is right, I mean, you'll go and you'll get what is offered. Yeah? So those are the difficulties that we face in medicine, how to retain, how to make sure that people continue living healthy when they are
so at the end, right, and at the end of the 12 months, do you go on offering anything that can just keep them on track then?
Yes. Those are the things that they have to pay out of their own pocket. So we have so-called, we call it open gym. So anybody who came into any of our programs can come and do the exercise with the exercise physiologist being on site. Yeah? We have therapeutic yoga classes. Yeah, there are 4 during the week. Yeah, you can choose in the evening, you can choose during the middle of the day, whenever it's convenient for you. We have free lectures both nutrition and wellness focused, so the patients can come and continue getting the education. We have meditation classes, where we teach them whatever they learn. You know, often it happens, I was doing this and then I kind of, stopped doing it, so it will be kind of a refresher. But most often there are patients who do not get into any of our major lifestyle, therapeutic lifestyle programs, but they just take those meditation classes.
Sounds like a really impressive program. Keep it up. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for the opportunity to share the enthusiasm with your audience.
Anybody can turn their lives around if they have the motivation, the support, and the tools. Some people I meet do a lot of that on their own, but most of us need a team to help us. The pillars for turning health around are what we eat, whether we move, how we manage stress, and if we nurture our spirituality. Whether it's Lifestyle 180 or an alternative program, I have no doubt that Cleveland Clinic's Center for Lifestyle Medicine will continue helping people to turn their lives around. That's all from me today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.